Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Last week we finished our kind of our covenant series, and we ended by having a communion service and an opportunity for people to come up and bring up before us their covenant cards. And we were really excited that we received 28 cards that day. 28 families made a commitment to rededicate themselves to the church and to the mission of the church. And I just hope that all of you had an opportunity to think that through, pray about it, reflect on where God is calling you. And to think about that central question that we started this morning with and ask, are you blessed? I really began to think about that, about how blessed we really are. And then I thought, what a tragedy it would be to be so blessed and not know it. Or to kind of slough it off and just say, well, I've been blessed a little bit, but I want to be blessed a lot more. And I began to look through the scriptures about how Jesus dealt with the disciples and that issue. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been wrestling with who we are and asking that central question from this image of the tree and ask, are you growing to become more like the half that is dying, the half that is depending upon your own strength and your own self-will, or are you becoming more like the other side of the tree that is flourishing, that is providing shade for other people in your family, providing fruit and abundance? Which of those two is struggling within you to get out? Which of those two are you being intentional about? For the last couple of weeks, we've been sharing this verse, and I want to share it one more time because if we really could just, imprint this on our hearts. In Jeremiah, God is talking to his people, and he says the following. He said, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives." They are depending upon their own resources, but those resources are limited, and eventually they dry up. And prosperity is not going to come. But he offers this possibility, this choice that always lies before us. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree that is planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. It has tapped into the source of true abundant life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." And the question that we have to wrestle with is, do we have it to the full? Do we recognize what we have? And are we growing in that direction? This morning we're talking about how are we being blessed? Is it possible that you are being so blessed that the gifts are lying just before you, that we as a church have so much that it's possible that we don't see it, that there's so much coming into your life, there's so many doors that are being invited for you to come, but we're just not aware of it? Well, this morning we're going to take a look at a passage where the disciples were at a critical moment in their faith journey. And they made a choice, and I love the way this plays out, and I wanted to share it with you, and we're going to tear it apart and look at some of the inner workings of this passage. Would you join with me as we share and center our lives on God's Word? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Today we're talking about fishing, about going fishing, about a choice that the disciples had to make. But what's interesting about this story? The story was written the gospel, it's out of the Gospel of John, and John was written many decades after the event. But what is interesting, as we go through this, I want you to pay particular attention to the amount of detail that the writer has put into this. It suggests that the writer, when he went through this event, it was so powerful in his life, and he retold it and memorized this event. It was so critical in shaping his life that all of these details stuck out to him. And he wants you to know about all of the details because it makes it come alive. We're reading from John's Gospel, the 21st chapter, beginning with the first verse. Afterwards, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. The disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Open my eyes, God. Help me to perceive what I have ignored, to uncover what I have forgotten, and to find what I have been searching for. Remind me that I don't have to journey far to discover what is new. For miracles abound and surround me. Blessings and holiness are everywhere, and you are here. Amen. I wanted to start by asking this simple question. Are we missing the miracles? Are we missing them? Are they coming to us all of the time, but we don't perceive them? Think about this story for a moment. It's a very common story. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, the disciples are somewhat torn. In Jesus' moment of need, of his greatest trials and tribulations, they abandon him. And obviously Simon Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, and so there is a tension in the air. Who am I, and what will my future be? I've learned something about myself. And so they make this choice to go back, and they go back to what they know, which is fishing. And in this moment, they go out and they're fishermen. They know how to fish, but in this moment, they haven't caught any fish, and they have this encounter. And it's in this encounter with all of these details that I believe the disciples found what is essential about their faith journey. And they told and retold this story over and over again. That's why all of these details are essential. So that whenever they found themselves struggling again, they're able to go back to that moment, to that blessing, and said, do you remember that moment? And what I want us to do as a church community, as a faith community, go back to those moments, those blessings that we have received, and to recognize that God is with us. I think it's important to remember, and it's in your sermon notes, the degree to which I am blessed, it staggers me. How much we are blessed. And we talk about that every Sunday morning, how you are blessed, that your heart is beating, that you're not struggling in the hospital, that you have people and a family around you. We talk about our blessings. Nobody had to go through a military checkpoint in order to get here today. None of you are rebuilding your home after a terrible hurricane went through. Nobody here is worried about whether you have anything to eat today. None of you are going to worry about whether your safety or whether there will be some bombings in your community on the way home. These are blessings, and yet sometimes we don't pay attention. So the degree to which I am blessed, it staggers me. But the degree to which I take them for granted shames me. What can we do to elevate those blessings to a way that each and every day brings us joy and focus to what God is doing in our lives? How do we begin to rebuild? In your sermon notes, blessings are identified, and I want to define this, because if you were to say, if I could win the lottery, I would be blessed. Not really. That's not a blessing. A blessing is anything that brings you closer to the presence of God. Anything that draws you from this world and all of the things that distract you into God's presence. How do we as a community, how do we as a community of faith people draw our lives away from all of the distractions in life to draw us closer to be with God? How do we do that? What is the Bible talking about? The disciples had made a decision. We're going fishing. We're going back to the way things used to be. And isn't that always the temptation for all of us? Let's go back to the status quo. Let's go back to our comfort zone. I know how to be a fisherman. I know what that's like. That's all that I ever am. That's all that I'll ever be. And it's into that world that God wants to bless you and draw the very best out of you. The story follows a specific kind of pattern. And I think that this pattern is something that if we could embrace it as well, if we could look for it in our own lives, we could see that God is trying to draw the very best out of us. The first thing that we have to recognize about this is that blessings almost always begin in a frustration. When we come to the end of ourselves, when we have come to the end of our ability and our strength, we're allowing God to come in the door. As long as you have prosperity, as long as you have insurance, as long as you have something else to depend on, God will always be secondary. In this story, the disciples had worked and labored all night. All night they've been out on this boat. From midnight to 6 a.m, whatever it was, they have labored, not because they're sports fishermen, but because they're trying to earn a living, to live off of these fish. They are exhausted. And what does Jesus do? When they come in, show me where your fish are. We don't have any. We don't have anything. We are empty. And the first thing that we have to ask, if you wanted to be truly blessed today, and if I were to ask you, do you want to be truly blessed? Most people would say, of course, but you will put boundaries on it. You'll say, I would love to be blessed in my bank account. I would love to be blessed in my family relationships. Then you have to recognize that you can't do it yourself. You need somebody else to help you. You have to allow God to begin to work. Their frustration allowed God the open door. The second thing that really starts happening is blessings almost always require an application. Most of us want to stay right where we are, doing exactly the same things that we're doing right now, and allow God to give us that lottery ticket. Allow God to those blessings just wash over us without us having to do anything. Imagine how incredulous the disciples had to be. They don't know that this is Jesus. They've been out all night fishing. They know how to fish. They know what signs to look for. They know when the water gets rough that the fish are coming to the surface. And so they see this guy on the bank, and he says, "Have you caught any fish?" "No, we haven't gotten anything." "Well, all you have to do is throw it on the right side of the boat." "Are you kidding? We know how to fish. It takes more than that." But it's in that moment when it seems almost ridiculous. Will you step out and invite God into your life? Will you take that risk? Do you know how many people, whenever we start a disciple Bible study, we're doing a Bible study that will last 36 weeks. Many people will say, "Oh, I could never do that. I don't have that kind of time." Or they'll say something like, "I'm not very good in the Bible, and so it just wouldn't be for me." Throw it on the right side. Throw your net on the right side. Take a risk. Put your net in the water. Allow me to do something, but do it in such a way that invites God. And so here's the question that I want to ask you. All of us want to be blessed, right? Where are you casting your net? Where are you putting your net in the water? It's like having your net all nice and dry and saying, "But I don't see why I'm not getting any fish. I don't see why I'm not seeing any fruit in my life. I don't see why God isn't doing some miracles. Now, have I invested myself? No, I'm not going to do that. But I don't see why God just doesn't make the fish jump in my boat." Are you willing to take a risk? Are you willing to put your net after a long, hard day? Put it in the right side. Put it in the right side. Finally, blessings lead to transformation. Blessings always lead to transformation. I love the way it ends. After all of this had gone through, they said, "Nobody asked, 'Who are you?' We knew. We just knew." And so often we struggle sometimes to say, "Where is God in my life?" When you leave here today, God will go before you, and sometimes we just don't see it. Blessings always transform the way you look at life. It always changes the way you look at life. I love this quote by John Milton. He says, "Gratitude bestows reverence. It changes forever how we experience life and the world." What are you grateful for? Now, I guarantee you that these disciples are profoundly grateful. They recognize some miracle has just happened. And here's how you can tell. They've had lots of fish before. And I don't even know what their nets look like. But they want you, the reader, to know something very profound. They cast their nets out and they got a lot of fish. What's a lot of fish? 10, 12, 50? Somebody got on that boat and counted each fish. And they want you to know there were 153 fish. To the reader, that would not just be a nice little fact. Well, that's interesting. That would have been staggering. We're used to seeing 50 or 60 fish in a net. 153? That's beyond all reason. And in that moment, recognizing that what has just transpired is above and beyond anything that they have ever seen, anything that they've ever experienced. They had a story to tell. I believe that after this event, Peter has this encounter with Jesus about feeding his sheep. And he has this moment of revelation of Jesus saying, "I've got a mission for you." But I believe that Peter's life, many of you know, Peter ended up being martyred for his faith. Peter went through some struggles, some difficult days in his ministry. But I believe that whenever he got together with the disciples again, he looked at them and said, 153. I know that you want to give up and you just want to, this isn't working. 153. Do you remember? Yeah, I remember. 153. they had a story to tell. It gave them a sense of purpose and meaning. Their lives have been forever changed and transformed. So let me ask you, are you ready today to be blessed? Are you ready to be blessed? Are you ready to be drawn out of the tired, worn-out routines that are really kind of getting you nowhere? Are you willing to kind of throw your nets in the water and say, God, use me as I can, as you can? And are you willing to tell those stories again and again and again, looking at your neighbors and saying, 153. Now, for all of us, we have had those experiences. And as Christians, whenever we follow and we fall into that time of just despair and saying things are going horribly, we look at one another and we look at each other in the eye. Easter. Do you remember Easter? God is doing something in our lives. I want to give you a couple of things that we can do to make sure that we're living and accepting the blessings that God wants to give you. The first thing is begin each day with an attitude of worship, that you're looking for a blessing. If you're just going to go through the day and just say, I'm going to try and get through this day as fast as I can, then it doesn't matter what God brings to you. You're not going to be aware of it. In our Gloria Patri, it says, praise God, what? From whom all blessings flow. Do you want to be blessed? Then begin with an attitude of worship. Go out today and say, what a beautiful day. What glories are surrounding us? God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Begin your day that way with an attitude of worship. Number two, invest yourself. How are you investing yourself? Where are you casting your nets? A couple of weeks ago, when I do soccer, it was raining. It was a horrible day and it was raining. And somebody said, don't you have a raincoat? And I said, yes, it's back in the car, nice and dry, where it belongs. And I wonder, do you ever follow into that habit of having an umbrella for a rainy day, but you store it away so it's always nice and dry? Is it possible that we do that with our faith? We love to protect it. We don't want to tell people about it. We want to keep it safe and comfortable for ourselves. Where are you casting your nets? Until the nets are cast, no blessings, no fish are going to come. And finally, your awareness. Count your blessings. I know that you hear that often, and we kind of go through that routine, count your many blessings. But the disciples did that. And it shaped them, 153. I know you think it's a lot, but 153, that's more than anybody could ever expect. We have been blessed beyond reason. And I think about, is there any greater tragedy in our lives than to have lived and to have died, and to have never known how much you have been blessed. Imagine if the disciples had cast their nets on the right side, just like they were told to, but they never hauled in. They never took stock of what God was doing. They just left the nets in the water. All of those fish that they had been just right there. And so this morning, as we gather in this place, God is with us. God is in us, and God is using us for some amazing things. It's 153 blessings. Are you ready to accept that each and every day? Then prepare by getting ready to worship. Invest yourself in something, something little. Like throw your net on that side of the boat. Not going out into the deep water, go another mile down the road. Just throw it on that side, right where you are, just throw it on that side and God will meet you right there. And then count and say, this is beyond anything I ever expected. God is waiting to bless us, but he's waiting for people who will accept the blessing. Let us pray. Father God, you have come into our midst and continue to work within us. As a church, we are doing some amazing things, but we need to be grateful for all that we have, for the people that serve, for the children and for the youth and for the adults that come. And Father, we thank you for a community that supports us in times of grief and sorrow, but also in times of new birth and new life. Help us, O God, to do life together, to experience you and to accept your gracious joy. In Jesus' name, amen.